Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Price of Power, a Lit RPG Cultivation Saga, by Ivan Kal, narrated by Phil Thron. Chapter 1. Present. Zack. Paycheck. Zack hit the ground again, his practice sword flying away as his opponent disarmed him. He groaned and got up to his feet, looking at the other warden. Emira was a senior warden, a Ravzer who looked like a big were-tiger, and he was in charge of training other wardens in advanced combat. He usually taught younger wardens, or at least those who were less powerful. On paper, Zack and Emira were in the same power-level class. Emira was higher in level, but his path wasn't even in the Foundation realm, and he had a greater mastery of skills. Their practice fights weren't all one-sided. Zack could hold his own, and his abilities were good enough to give the man problems, but Zack could see the difference in their fighting styles. Emira was a weapons master, and knew how to fight with almost every weapon. He was even better than Zack at swordplay. Zack hadn't had the chance to train and learn the sword as much as he wanted. Even though it was his focus, there had been no great sword masters left on Earth for him to learn from. Those who had survived the framework were pale shadows of the masters who had lived long ago in a time when knowing the sword was something more. He had tried to teach himself, as much as one could, and follow his skills in order to learn more, but he could see now that there was much for him to learn. "You still need to work on your ability rotation," Emira said as he retrieved Zack's practice sword and put it on the rack. "Knowing when to use your abilities is crucial for a classer." Zack nodded his head, having come to learn a lot more about the way classers fought. "Thank you for the extra lesson," Zack said. Emira waved his clawed hand. "I appreciate it when my students want to learn more. Although you and Nyathula are a special case." Zack nodded his head. The C'Thul was his fellow student, someone else who had joined the wardens under special circumstances. Zack had only met her a few days ago and hadn't had much chance to really get to know her and her circumstances, although he doubted that they were anything like his situation. "I still expect you for our regular lessons tomorrow morning," Emira said as he gathered his things. Zack assured the man that he would be there, and waved as his instructor left. Zack cleaned up and changed his clothes slowly, taking the time to think a bit about what he needed to do. He still had some essence saved up from the bounty that he and Gris had received for the miners, and he was thinking about leveling up. Most of what Emira instructed him in was the general stuff, but he did also recommend some tomes that he could check up in the Citadel's library. He had been meaning to visit and see if he could learn something more. Making a decision, after he was finished, he made his way to the library, intending to read and learn more before he leveled. He left the training grounds and headed toward one of the Citadel's towers, but as he was crossing the central courtyard, a voice called after him. "Zack!" someone yelled, and Zack turned around. Gris was waving at him and rushing to catch up. "Hey, Gris," Zack greeted the Drake. The two of them hadn't exactly had a chance for a real conversation since his talk with the Warden Commander.
"Ah, I've been searching for you all over," Gris said with a smile. "I've good news."
"Oh?"
"Yes. The Warden Commander just approved a bonus for us, and we're cleared to pick it up."
"A bonus?" Zack asked.
"For the information we brought back, the unidentified group we encountered."
"I thought that we hadn't learned enough for it to be useful," Zack said.
"Apparently the Warden Commander disagrees. I made a full report to her personally, and she seemed to think that just what we knew was valuable."
Zack nodded. "So what kind of a bonus are we talking about?"
"Essence, some stat-increasing elixirs, and one-time access to the Citadel's dungeon," Gris said excitedly.
Zack blinked at that. He knew already that wardens received essence through the framework interface once per month, It was basically a salary. It was extremely low, a few dozen greater essence, which wasn't enough to live on, but apparently that could be increased based on a person's contribution, which was, in essence, a questing system. The more they contributed to their faction, the more essence they would get. Zack currently had around 4,000 greater essence, and as long as he stayed in the Citadel, he could eat and sleep here for free. He knew that out in the city, however, that little essence would start drying up. It was why he hadn't leveled just yet, even though he had enough to reach level 90.
The Citadel has a dungeon?
Yeah, the Citadel was built on top of it. It's a respawning dungeon with several different floors, each with a different difficulty. It makes it perfect for helping wardens level, since there are floors that have low-tier monsters.
That did sound interesting to Zack. The reason why he had joined the wardens in the first place was in order to get resources that he would have a hard time getting by himself.
Come, we should go and collect.
Gris led him back to the Citadel's main structure through the hallways that he hadn't been through before. Or if he had, he didn't remember. But then again, the inner layout was more akin to a labyrinth, and he was yet to become accustomed to that. They reached a room deep in the heart of the Citadel, one guarded by several wardens. They were allowed inside, and Zack noticed a pillar standing in the middle of the room behind some kind of a counter. It resembled the interfaces that he had seen before, but it was also somehow more. A spiral of black and white with the emblem of the wardens, the tower, stamped on its center. Behind it was a massive door, looking as if it were made out of metal, with hinges as long as Zack was tall. The door reminded him of vault doors from Earth. A man was sitting behind the counter, and as they approached, he stood. He was a minotaur, with long black fur and horns that curved like those of a ram.
"Warden Gris and Warden Zachariah, I presume?" the minotaur asked.
Gris nodded his head.
"Yes, we are here to receive our bonuses."
"Of course. The warden commander sent word, and everything is ready. Here."
The minotaur bent beneath the counter and then pulled out two baskets. Both were small, but each held the exact same contents, two potions and a blue stone with a symbol on it. Zack reached out and took one of the potions, immediately seeing that it was an elixir of minor strength. Checking the other, he saw that it was an elixir of minor dexterity. Drinking it would apparently give him a permanent boost of 2 to his stats, which was incredible in itself. He put both potions in his storage after he saw Gris do the same, and then Zack grabbed the blue stone. Abyssal Deep Keystone, 1 charge. Allows access to the Abyssal Deep Dungeon, floors 1-5. He would need to talk to Gris and find out what access to the dungeon really meant. "Here are the access stones for the essence transfer," the minotaur said, bringing Zack's attention back to him. He put 2 small stones on the counter, and Zack frowned as he wasn't familiar with them. His confusion had to have shown on his face because Gris leaned in and whispered,
"Remote access to the interface, so that you don't need to touch it. Put one hand on it while holding your badge in the other."
Zack nodded in understanding, and, watching as Gris did so, he then put his hand on it while he placed his other on the badge tied to his waist. Immediately he received a notification telling him that he had been allocated 10,000 greater essence. He blinked at the number. He hadn't expected so much essence, but he suppressed his desire to ask questions. He would wait to ask Gris when they were alone. Even Gris seemed surprised, however, as he thanked the minotaur and ushered Zack out of the strange room. Zack waited until they were alone in the corridors of the Citadel before speaking.
"That seems like a lot of essence. With this added to what I already have, I could probably hit level 100, Zack said. "It was more generous than what I thought, yes, but it isn't as much as you think," Gris told him.
"What do you mean?" Zack asked.
"Don't get me wrong. This tells me that the leadership sees potential in us and are willing to support us, The potions alone are worth a ton, and access to the dungeon is nearly priceless. The essence is good, but I would not recommend you to spend it all on your leveling, Gris said.
Why not?
Because you need to buy things if you are going to be a successful warden. Gear, materials, tents, and preferably a mount, Gris answered.
I thought that the wardens provide gear for their recruits.
They do, for new recruits, and while you are new, you are not as weak as they are. The standardized gear is good for someone who is level 20, maybe 30, but beyond that, you need to have your own gear.
Zack already had gear, but it was from Earth, and he had noticed that there was much better gear in the Infinite Realm.
Half of what makes a person powerful is their gear. At least you have an awakened sword, which means you won't have to buy weapons in the future, Gris told him.
Zack knew that his sword was powerful, but in his opinion it didn't match some of the things he had seen here in the Citadel. There had been several awakened weapons on Earth, and he had watched some get completely destroyed by Ryun during their last battle. They didn't seem all that great to him, even though everyone that had seen it seemed impressed by it.
You and I are in the middle of the Warden forces as far as power is concerned. Most of the recruits are around level 10 up to 20, with perhaps a bit invested in cultivation or a skill or two. The great majority is around level 40 to around level 80, Gris said. Since the leadership seems interested in investing in us, that means that they want to groom us for leadership positions in the future.
Those levels, they seem low to me.
That's because you are a freak, Gris said. Just getting your class evolved once is a great feat. You are thinking like a ranker, which I guess you are. Your life has been a constant struggle, fighting against monsters and growing, but out of your entire Earth, only a few managed to become strong. How many people did your world have before the framework, and how many survived? It's the same on other worlds from other iterations. Only a few manage to get strong enough to survive while the others die. The Infinite Realm is the same. Most people live their lives in the core, in civilization, never even seeing a monster. They live on the essence that they gain as their contribution. They craft and sell their wares, and they advance when they manage to save enough essence to do so. Most don't even advance past a certain point when they feel like they have achieved something, choosing instead to save essence to buy their children a better start.
Gris shook his head and then continued speaking.
They just don't get to live long enough to advance further. And of those who become adventurers, who go out and hunt monsters, a fraction of them are successful. Yes, there is potential for an incredible rate of advancement if you can survive the monsters, but not everybody is lucky enough to get ahead or smart enough to know when to slow down. Ordinary people are lucky if they get to evolve their class twice by the time they die of old age. The average level of most of the regular people in the core is between 60 and 100, or peak foundation realm to early lord if we are talking cultivators. Most people spread their advancement a bit, so it is hard to tell sometimes, but that is what they achieve by the end of their life. If they were lucky to advance a bit more when they were younger and extend their lifespan a bit, then they might reach higher, but beyond that?
Zack raised an eyebrow, and Gris went on.
The leaders of the smaller factions, of guilds, organizations, might have two or three evolutions, or they might be led by peak lords or monarchs if we are talking sects. The medium-sized factions have people with four evolutions as their regulars, and the sects might have a Heavenly Realm cultivator as their leader. Most of the factions are this level. Their people might be slightly higher than average, with their lowest being level 100, but their leadership are all greater. And beyond them you have the top of the top, the people with more than five evolutions, the Immortal Realm Cultivators. Now, these people have reached high enough that they can live forever. They are the ones that will in time reach further still. But on the peak, beyond even them, there are only a handful of people who have reached beyond. The rulers of the most powerful factions, those who are high rankers. Your view is skewed. You achieved all that you have in barely a handful of years. You are a monster compared to everyone else.
Zack nodded. He didn't yet understand a lot of how things worked in the Infinite Realm, but he was starting to get a better picture. He remembered the group that he rescued when he arrived. They had been higher level than the average he had seen, but they would have probably died if he hadn't come along. Perhaps they had died after he left.
On top of that, Chris added, people need essence to live, to pay for food and homes, to support themselves. You, too, will need it, which is why I'm suggesting that you don't spend all of it on your advancement. The stronger you are, the more expensive food gets. At some point, you won't be able to sustain yourself with low-tiered monster meat, or you will need to eat food that was grown by high-tiered people and was of greater quality. It can get expensive. It is why most of the ordinary people don't advance beyond a certain point. They don't have the income that would allow them to support themselves. Some try, of course, but most of them are unable to earn enough and eventually wither and die.
Gris shook his head.
Managing your essence is about more than just advancement. It is everything. But I don't think that you need to worry about that for now. Once you finish your instruction here, we'll move into the city for me to finish your training. You'll need to pay for a room, at least. The Citadel is too far for you to stay, and in any case, remaining here would mean that you wouldn't earn more essence. Your contribution would be very low, and your growth incredibly slow.
That, at least, Zack could understand. Oh, so you're still willing to be my partner? He asked.
Yes, of course,
Gris told him with a grin. Zack sighed in relief. He hadn't been sure, since they had barely spoken with each other since their meeting with the Warden Commander. Well, I was hoping to ask for your advice. I was on my way to the library. Perhaps you can come with me? I could use some help in finding the right guides and books that could be useful to me. Gris grimaced.
I'd really like that, but unfortunately, I've been asked to consult on a murder case down in the city, and I planned on stopping by my sister's inn beforehand. And I wouldn't be of much help. It's not like I know much. Most of what you need, you can find just by asking. The library staff is far better equipped to help you than I am. And I know that you are not used to things here, but for most people, their advancement is a private matter. Even if they are willing to discuss different builds, abilities, or perks, it is rare for someone to just come out and tell you what to do. The resources of the library are at your disposal, but you are the one who needs to make the choice in the end.
Zack was disappointed, but he understood. It's okay. I'll manage. But I do need lessons in how all of this with essence works. Gris nodded as they reached the courtyard, and he waved in goodbye. He really needed to figure out how the economy worked and how he could get more essence quickly. He did have a few things in his storage that he could probably sell. He sighed and headed to the library. The Citadel's library was massive, one of its towers dedicated entirely just to books and tomes. Zack stood on the ground floor, looking up through the center of the tower that stretched up far into the distance, with levels going all around the inner sides of the tower. There were quite a few people in there, most of them appearing young, likely being recruits on assignments. He found one of the librarians and asked where he could find books and tomes on class perks, as well as general builds for sword-based classes. He was pointed to the 7th floor and given a note with symbols that would tell him what shelf to search.
It took him a better part of an hour to find what he was looking for, and then he settled in one of the reading berths to read. There were hundreds of class builds, depicting exactly where to put every stat, which abilities were the best, as well as what perks were the most effective. He even found his own class, and, unsurprisingly, his choices hadn't been listed as the most optimal ones. He read more about each of the options that were available and why they were better than what he had chosen. The list held all of the known ones, but apparently there was always a chance for someone to get something that was unique. For classes, it seemed like one of the choices of either abilities or perks was always the same for that class, while the second and third were wild cards which depended on the classer's actions in their life as well as their perks. If a swordsman fought mostly one type of monster, for example, they might get a class evolution geared more toward fighting those kinds of opponents. The guides didn't recommend such evolutions for wardens, as they were too limiting. Zack's evolution, Blade Master, was a common enough one, although his rarity being rare meant that he would have a better evolution next time. His class's rarity had upgraded when he evolved the first time, and was a result of his actions and the way he used his abilities. After reading about what perks would be the best for his class, he found that most of the choices revolved around the choices for future evolutions. His perks were the things that influenced the evolutions the most, so none of the things in the guide were all that useful to him, not until he evolved for the second time, at least. Then he could steer his build in another direction by choosing perks that would give him an even better evolution the third time. That was also where most of the guides seemed to end. There were a couple that showed up to the fourth evolution, but those seemed rare. Zack leaned back and closed his eyes. There was little that could help him in the books at the moment, although there were lists of possible perks and what the best level 90 perks were. From what he read, he would get one choice tied to his class, which would probably be the Blade Spirit perk, which would allow him to draw out the spirit of his sword and have it fight beside him. That was what was suggested as a pick from the guides, as it would allow the class more flexibility and power, depending on the power of the weapon the classer wielded. The second and the third perk would be a wild card based on his actions, titles, and previous perks. It also mentioned that level 90 perk was special. It was called a class-defining perk, and apparently, 60 levels after level 90, a classer gained a new class-defining perk. There wasn't much information about it in the tomes he was currently reading, but it also mentioned that the class influence seemed to grow with each class-defining perk gained. He made a mental note to try and find more information about that. A while later, he realized that he had spent a few hours reading. He sighed, as he knew that he wouldn't get much more from the tomes unless he knew what his choices were. He glanced at his stats and his essence. He had a lot of it now, and with some quick math, he knew that he would still have a lot even if he spent some to level up to level 90. Zack made a decision and started putting the essence in, leveling himself to 90. He dismissed the perk window for a moment and allocated his stats. From what the guide said, he needed to get his strength up a bit to be closer in line with his dexterity, so he put all his free stats in that. After he was done with that, he took a look at his perk choices. Blade Spirit, Class Perk. Once per day, you may draw out the spirit of your sword, allowing it to fight beside you. The power of the sword spirit depends on the rarity and quality of your weapon. Duration depends on the highest stat. Windbound, Class Perk. 10 times per day, you may turn into the wind, becoming untouchable by any physical or special attacks. You can travel as wind anywhere in the 30 meters around yourself. Once you reform, you gain an instance of haste, stackable, that lasts for 10 seconds and increases your total strength and dexterity by 12%. Using the perk before the buff expires will refresh the buff and increase the bonus. Last Air of Terra, Class Perk.
Once per week, you may call upon the Spirit of Terra, which grants you the combined knowledge, talent, and expertise of all the swordmasters that have ever lived on your Earth. The Spirit of Terra imbues you with heightened senses, doubling your total stats for the duration, and lowers the stamina requirements and cooldowns of your abilities by 20%. All sword-based skills level 5 times faster. Upon Spirit of Terra's ending, you will be unable to use abilities for 1 hour. Duration and cooldown depend on your highest stat. The first perk was no surprise, and the second fit in the theme of his other perks. But the third, it made his heart ache. He had read a few passing lines about unique perks that rankers could get at level 90, things that could give them something that no one else had. But it was the name that made him feel so many things. His world was gone, as was everyone that he knew, and now he was being offered a perk that would name him. The Last Heir of Terra. It was the truth. The other survivor had stopped being a child of Earth long ago, and Zack was the last one who still held love for his world for what it used to be. All three perks were powerful, as class-defining perks. He knew that perks could get improved with further class evolutions, that they could get even stronger in the future. But there was really only one choice for him, and he made it. Chapter 2. Present. Zack. Advancement. By the time he picked his new perk, Zack realized that night had fallen, or rather, turned. He had planned on going back to the training yard and testing it out, but he realized that there would be people there even at night, and he didn't want to try it around other people. He could get a private training chamber, but those had to be reserved in advance. And in any case, there was still much for him to read through. His stats allowed him to stay awake for more than a day without any harmful effects, so he decided to try and find more things to study. There were still books on classes that he wanted to read, other builds that he wanted to study, but he needed a break from it. So he found a librarian and asked for tomes on cultivation, or rather, ways to fight cultivators. The librarian pointed him to another floor, but Zack did notice the strange expression on their face as they did so. He was tempted to ask why his request was so strange, but the librarian moved on before he had a chance to do so. Zack made his way to the cultivation floor and found the section that he had been looking for. There was actually very little material compared to what there was on classes. He approached the shelves and looked through them. The titles were actually very informative, and he could figure out what the tome contained from just reading them. There were a few path guides, some volumes on cultivation theory, but all were very slim. Finally, he found what he had been looking for, a guide for fighting against cultivators. It was a small volume, barely as thick as his finger. He took it up anyway, and turned to find a reading berth and read. He paused as he found someone standing behind him. Nyathola was standing there with several books on different paths in her arms. She looked down at the book in his arms and tilted her head, her tendrils swaying as she spoke.
"That is some interesting reading material," Nyathola said, and Zack had to suppress a shiver.
"I thought that I should be prepared for everything," Zack told her.
"There isn't any point to reading that, you know," she added.
"What do you mean?"
Nyathola looked around. There weren't many people in this area, but there were a few people looking through various paths. She motioned for him to follow and led him to one of the private berths. They sat across from one another and put their tomes on the table. Zack took a moment to study her. She was the strangest being that he had ever met. She looked like something straight out of a Cthulian nightmare. She had smooth gray skin, tendrils over her mouth, large expressive eyes, and an elongated head. In a way, she looked like a female mind flayer, or close enough that the description was functional. But the most unsettling thing about her was her voice.
There was something about it that grated on his mind, something that he couldn't exactly hear but could feel. He didn't know what it was, but it took an effort for him not to react. Of course, she was not speaking English.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?